Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith, in Jesus above, I'm trusting, confiding in His great love. Trusting, confiding in His great love. Prayer, I'm all I'm saying.
Along with Brother Jones, I would like to say that we do appreciate all of those who have come our way this afternoon, especially if you are visiting with us and don't share with us our religious conviction. We want you to know that you are our honored guest this evening. I want to thank all the gospel preachers in the house this evening. It's good to see you all come out and support the work of God. To our sisters, Brother Manzo just didn't do well enough in telling you how much we appreciate the dinner this afternoon. I would say to him, I ate his part of the dessert. So he don't have to worry about that. I took care of it. So he wouldn't feel so bad. To show him how much I love him, I ate his cake and mine too. But I appreciate Brother Jones for the invitation, the elders, to come and share with you for the next few nights God's word. Brother Jones said this morning, we go back a long ways, back in the 60s. He remember when I was a young boy. I remember when he was a young boy. And he used to come to Pleasant Union and practice on us. He couldn't preach then. But he was practicing, and he would practice and did a pretty good job as a young boy preaching the gospel. And we would give him quarters and nickels and dimes, and he would come back to Nashville with a pocket full of change. But that's about all he was worth at that time. But he's a lot better preacher now. I enjoy every chance I get to sit at his feet and just listen to him, because I remember when he have grown tremendously. And I appreciate the opportunity to be with you this afternoon and the beginning of this week. In the book of John, chapter 13, if you have your Bibles, you can be turning to that particular passage. I would confess to you that I'm a different preacher when I'm away from home than when I am at home. When I'm at home, folks at Bird Street just don't care how long I preach. I mean, they just sit there, and they sit there, and I preach an hour, and they still sitting there. Hour and a half, they still sitting there. They just don't care how long I preach. But I've been preaching long enough to know that when you're away from home, Brother Brinkley, folk don't want to sit there no hour. I ain't understood that yet, you know, but I do appreciate y'all coming. I'm not going to hold you long this afternoon. But I do want to share with you a message from the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
In the book of John, the chapters 13, and the verses number 34 and the verses number 35, Jesus says, writing to his disciples, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Now, I don't know about you, but that's really not a new commandment. If you go back in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 18, the Bible talks about loving one another.
Yes, sir.
It talks about loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yes, sir.
So loving each other was anew.
Right.
But Jesus puts a new twist to this commandment. He says, now, I don't want you just to love each other. And I don't want you just to love your neighbor.
Yes, sir.
But I want you to love each other like I.
Yes, sir.
Now here's a new twist to it.
Right.
I want you to learn to love each other like I love you.
Yes, sir.
Love each other like I love you.
Amen.
Now that puts a whole different perspective to it. Matter of fact, that opened up a whole new light to what Jesus have said. Because now you got to understand, how did Jesus love us? I got to love you like Jesus loves me. Not just love you like I love me, but I got to love you like Jesus loves me. You got to love me. Not like I love you, but you gotta love me like Jesus loves you. And that makes a world of difference. Because when Jesus loves, he loves sacrificially. When Jesus loves, he loves selfishlessness. When Jesus loves, he loves understandingly. When Jesus loves, he loves forgivingly. So when Jesus loves, it puts a whole different light on how I ought to love you.
Yes, sir.
And how you ought to love me. So Jesus says, here's how I want you to love each other. Well, how is that, Jesus? You love your neighbor and you love each other like I have loved you. Now, Jesus, that's hard for me to do. Not really. Because Jesus have poured his love into you. Romans 5 and verse number 5, he talks about that love being poured into our heart. So if his love is already in us, it's not hard for you to love me like Jesus loves me. But the problem is we don't want to operate out of that kind of love. We want to operate out of our own kind of love. Jesus never tells us to operate out of our love. He tells us to operate out of his love. So when you stop and think about it, he says, here's how the world is going to know that you are my disciple. Now, how is the world going to know that you belong to Jesus? How is the world going to know that I belong to Jesus? It's not by a bumper sticker you may have on the back of your car. That's not how the world going to know you belong to Jesus. It's not by some cross that you may wear around your neck. That's not how the world is going to know that you belong to Jesus. It's not by some bracelet with WWJD on it that the world is going to know that you belong to Jesus. It's not whether or not I turn my collar backwards or not. That's not how the world is going to know that I belong to Jesus.
I can put all kinds of little fish symbols on the back of my car, but that's not how Jesus said the world is going to know. And how the world going to know? Now, we oftentimes think that as Christians, we have the upper hand on the world. Because, see, I like scripture like 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, where the Bible says, Paul says that, don't you know that the saints are going to judge the world? See, I like the idea that I'm going to judge the world as a Christian. But then down in verse number 3 of that same chapter, he said, don't you know that as saints, you're also going to judge angels? See, I like the idea that I'm going to judge angels. I'm going to judge the world. But I don't like the idea that Jesus gave the world the opportunity to judge me. Jesus gave the world the right to judge you. Now, how the world going to judge you? Jesus said, this is how the world going to know that you belong to me. They're going to know it by the love you have one toward another. That's how the world going to know that you belong to him. How am I going to love you? I'm going to love you like Jesus loves me. That love is a sacrificial love. That love is a forgiving love. That's the kind of love that individuals in the world is going to see that exists among the members of the church. But while there is a lack of love, maybe that is a sheer sign that you don't belong to Jesus. Jesus says, here's how the world is going to identify you. It's not by some name you have on a building. Now, I know I may be stepping some very thin ground, but that ain't how Jesus says the world identifies us. The world don't identify us as being belonging to him because we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. That ain't how the world is going to know we belong to him. The world is not going to know that we belong to the Lord because we sing without instruments of music. That ain't how Jesus said the world is going to recognize us. Jesus didn't say the world will know you belong to me because you take money up every Sunday. That ain't what he says. Now, all of those things are well and good. Don't get me wrong. All of those things we must do. We must take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. We must give of our means. We must sing without the aid of instruments. Yes, we must do that. But Jesus said that's not the identifying mark of his followers. How the world is going to know that you belong to me is because you love one another. The world ought to be able to look at us and say, you know what? Them folk really belong to Jesus. Can't you tell how they love each other? Can't you see how they are there for each other? Jesus said, that's how the world is going to know. That's the identifying mark of a Christian, is the love we have one toward another. And whenever that kind of love does not exist in the body of Christ, it may be evident that you really don't belong to the Lord. Oh yeah, you've been baptized. Yes, you come to church every time the door is open. Yes, you are here for Bible class. Yes, you are here every time the gospel meeting going on. But Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples because you attend a gospel meeting every night of the week. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You belong to me because you take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Nuh-uh. Jesus said, the world is going to judge you. And I'm going to give the world the right to judge you. Did you know the world had the right to judge you? Do you go out there and say, y'all, who are you to judge me? And I know that's the way we feel about the world. When we come to folks that's in the world that's not even Christian and they want to make a judgment on us, the first thing we'll say is, who are you to judge me? Let me tell you who they are to judge you. They are who God gave the right to judge you. God says that he's going to give the world the right to judge you and to see whether or not you are his disciples. And here's what they're going to use for a criteria. The criteria the world is going to look at is not whether or not it got Heart Street Church of Christ on this building. It's not whether or not it got Bird Street Church of Christ on that building, or whether or not it got Old Hickory Church of Christ on the building. Let me tell you how the world gonna know. The world is gonna know that you belong to Christ whether or not they ever see you dot these doors or not. They may not know where you go, but they know you belong to God. They know that you are a child of the King. And the way they are going to know that is by the love you have one toward another. And it's good to know that there are those in the body of Christ see that kind of love. But it ought to be more than just those in here. It ought to be those outside that sees that. I want to read you this card that one of the sisters wrote this morning. And when I heard the brother read this card, I said, I need that card because I want to read what she had to say. This card says, to our church family, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all that really need to be said. But I just like to thank each of you from the bottom of my heart for prayers, for cards, for the thoughts, for the gratuity, for the text, and anything else I may have forgotten. Here's what I like. She says, it is said that love is patient. Love is kind. God is love. But also to me, Heart Street is love. The Davis family. Now, when I heard that, I said, now that is idea. Not only should members, now is this a member of the body here? Not only should the members of the body of Heart Street feel like Heart Street is love, but everybody that walks by, everybody in Davidson County ought to be able to recognize that Heart Street is love. And when they recognize that, they know that God is love. And then they recognize these folk really, they really must be children of God. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, that's how the world is going to know. That's the criteria that I'm going to give for the world to recognize my followers, that they have love one toward another. It's not so much of what we do in here, but it's what we show the world outside of here. By this shall all men know. Our love that we have one for another ought to be a love that's so close that nothing can come between us. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 2 in verse number 2. He said that we are knitted together in love. Knit it together in love. John puts it this way in John, 1 John 3 and verse number 11. He says a new message that you have heard from the beginning, that you love one another. This is the message that you have heard. We ought to love each other unconditionally. And this love is a love that has been poured into our hearts. So how is the world going to know that you belong to Christ? Are they going to know it because you tell them? Or are they going to know it because they see it? How are they going to know the difference between us and them? They ought to see something of the love that we have one for another. So you can always tell the love that a person have one for another by what they're willing to give up for that person. You can always tell. You can always tell the love that a husband have for his wife by what he's willing to sacrifice and give up for the betterment of his wife. You can always tell a love, and you can measure it by this. Look at how that wife is willing to sacrifice and willing to give up some things for the betterment of her husband. You can always tell. You can tell how much children love their parents. Look at how much they're willing to give up to please their parents. You can always just look at what they're willing to give up. What was Jesus willing to give up for us? You can tell how much Jesus loved you by what he was willing to give up for you. He came down to this earth. He gave his life, made a life of no reputation. He was willing to give up what he had in glory. Willing to give all of it up. Come down, walk the dusty street of Jerusalem. Be crucified, spit upon, talked about, and nailed to a cross. He was willing to give up what he had with the Father. Because he loved us enough. If I ever had an opportunity to preach for the ideal church. Now I love where I am. I love Bird Street. Bird Street treats me well. My family well. I love them. But if I ever had an opportunity to preach for an ideal church, I think I would rather like to preach for the church at Thessalonica. You know why? Because Paul said, when he was writing to the church at Thessalonica, and 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 13, he says, concerning this love, Brother Carney, he says, you don't need me to write to you concerning love, because you're already doing that. Now, wouldn't it be nice, Brother Joe, that you could stand and say, now you make him say that, Hart Street, you don't need me to tell you how to love, because you all are already doing that. You already, and it's evident from this card that you're already doing that. But Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, he said, you don't need me to write to you concerning love, brotherly love. You don't need, why? Because you're already doing it. Must have been an ideal church that you don't have to tell them how to love one another. They're already loving each other. So a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Church, wherever you are, whether you're from Scott Avenue, whether or not you from Sand Hill, or whether or not you from Hart Street, or wherever you may be from, I want you to remember this. In the community in the area that you are from, do the folks in the world that don't even come to your services, that never dart the doors of your building, do they know that you all are really the children of God? When they stop and think about all of the other churches that in the neighborhood, others that's on the same street that you may be on, can folks in your neighborhood look at Ramsey Street and they say, out of all the churches here in South, now guess what? Those folks over there, they are really the children of God. When they come to Shelbyville, Bedford County, and they look at all the churches churches in Bedford County, can they look at Bird Street and can they say, I know them folks that meet up at 428 Bird Street. I know they belong to God. Now, I don't know about them folk next door, but I do know about them. And how are they going to know that? I'll tell you how they're going to know it. They're going to know it because they have judged us based on how we love one another. That's how they're going to know. And if we don't love each other, if we're not showing that among each other, the world will never know. They'll never know. That's why we want to try to bring as many people in to the gospel of Christ as we can. We want to bring as many folks into the church as we can. But if they sense not a love there, then the first thing they're going to say, them folk really ain't, they really don't belong to God. Because they don't love each other. We got to love each other to the extent that folks miss that kind of love if they don't get it somewhere else. They ought to get what they need here instead of getting it somewhere else. And let me leave you with this question. Think about where you are. Think about where your church assembles. Think about the community, the neighborhood. And I'm going to ask you this question. If your church ceased to exist in your community, would the people that live around you, would they now sense and see and even miss that you are gone? If you cease to exist, is this 11 Hart Street? If you cease to exist at 11 Hart Street, would the people in this community even know that you are gone? If we cease to exist at 428 Bird Street, Somerville, Tennessee, would the people that lives in our community around where we meet right now, if next week we did not assemble, all the members was gone, there was no more Bird Street Church of Christ in Shelbyville, would the people in Shelbyville even miss us? Would they say, I wonder what happened to that church up there? What happened to them folk? Do you know there were some loving people up there? There were some caring folks up there. Those folks up there was willing to help. Can you remember how many times we've been there and those folks was there for us? And now guess what? They no longer there. What happened to them? We miss them. But if they don't say that, then I'm wondering why we even exist to start with. Why do we even exist to start with? If folks in our community not going to miss us if we gone, if folks not going to miss saying heal Brother Barkley, if it all of a sudden ceased to exist, why are you even there to start with? The world is going to know that Bird Street exists, that Laverne exists, that Old Hickory exists, Hart Street exists. Ramsey Street exists. Scott Avenue exists. This is how the world is going to know. They're going to know it by the way you all love each other. That's how they're going to know. And if there's no love, it really don't even make sense to exist. All we may be doing is going through the formalities, the rituals, but there's really no love. People are drawn to love. They're drawn to love. That's the identifying mark of the true church of Christ. It's the mark of love. Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you belong to me, by the way you love one another. And I'm so thankful for this card. I'm so thankful for Heart Straight. I got a different love for you all now, Brother Daniels. Just by what, I don't even know this sister. But just by the mere fact she says, God is love, God is kind. I mean, love is patient, love is kind. God is love. But also to me, Heart Street is love. Thank God, Brother Pryor, for Heart Street. Continue to love, continue to share that kind of love. And may every member here feel the same way that this family felt. But let me take it a step further. I want folks that's not even members of Heart Street to feel that kind of love. I want them to visit this week. And they say, you know what? I visited up there this week and I didn't understand a word that preacher says. But let me tell you what I did get. Let me tell you what I did get. I'm going back, not for the preacher. I'm going back because I sensed a love among them. Maybe that's the reason they'll come. But let me tell you this. If you don't share that love, they'll pick that up too. They'll pick that up too. That's why I have to be very careful with people. And I tell them everywhere I go, people's first impression means so much. First impression. You got somebody that's standing at the back door to greet folk that don't need to be back there greeting? You just messed up the whole thing. That's just like putting somebody on your visitation committee that don't even know how to visit the sick. You ever heard somebody visit the sick and they go up and they say, oh, how you doing, Sister Joan? Oh, I ain't doing too good. I heard you got so-and-so. Yeah, child, I got, you know my auntie died of the very thing you got. Now, that person don't need to be on no visitation committee. Take them off as soon as you can. And you got folk that's supposed to be greeters, don't even have the personality to greet nobody. Standing at the back door with a frown like you don't even want to be up in here yourself. No. You don't need that kind. Folks will pick up on that. From the time they get out of their car, they pick up on stuff. And you need to be greeting them from the time they get out. Have special places just for your visitors to park. And have somebody to meet them when you see them person parking at visitor's parking spot, you go out there and open the door for them. Glad to have you today. Where are you from? I'm Brother So-and-so. Sister So-and-so, introduce yourself to them. Open the door. Welcome them on in. Don't let them just find their way in. Got three or four kids. They got to come in. They sitting down. And you get a band. Get up and say, now it's time for us to go to our Bible class. And guess what? They don't know where the Bible classes are. They don't know what a teenage class is. They don't know what a class is for the five-year-old. And none of us ever take the time to go back and say, hey, what grade are you in? What age are you? Follow me. On that. But if you don't have that, show that kind of love, they won't be back. They'll go next door where they may find it next Sunday. Jesus says, this is how folk gonna know. They'll know by the way you love. By the way you love. Do you love him? If you love him, you would obey him. But Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do whatsoever I says. What did he tell you to do? He says, you believe that I am his son, God's son. Be willing to repent of your sin. Confess him before men and be baptized today. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do that. But if you don't, you won't. So it's evident. When you leave, whether or not you love him or not. If you are here and you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you put him on in baptism, but somewhere along the line, you haven't been as faithful as you should have. You haven't kept your promises to God. Now let me encourage you, get it right. Get it right now. Don't put it off. Do what he commands you to do, and we together stand and sing.
All things are ready and come. unto the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famine, sin ye weary, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation. Come who
why not come?
Delay not one this day.
He's waiting for you to come.
Tomorrow
may never be.
For salvation, they shall fall.